speak truth, people might want to hear it. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Light.
That's Steve Brown. He's no guru, but he loves Jesus Christ. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach it. The program is Key Life, and here's Steve with a teaching for today. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, turn it to the book of Jonah as we continue with our Old Testament survey. By the way, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I'm going to take some time during the Thanksgiving broadcast just to talk about Thanksgiving and a major, major principle of the Christian life, one that can literally change your life. So you might want to be listening in tomorrow as we take a break from our Old Testament survey, and I'm going to talk about some themes, some biblical themes that are a little bit more appropriate for Thanksgiving Day. If you were listening yesterday, and I'm not going to take the time to read these verses to you, but I read from the third chapter of Jonah, verses 5 through 10, where Jonah spoke the truth, well, starting at the first verse, and he said, because God told him to say, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, this was a pagan people. God told him to speak truth, and we talked about the importance of speaking truth. Now, I want to say some things that are little aside from that, but which we can draw from these verses. Yesterday, we saw the power of God's message delivered at God's command. In other words, if God has given you truth and you're a Christian and he has, speak it. Don't shout it, speak it, and see what truth does. Truth, when it's God's truth, spoken at God's command, has tremendous results, tremendous power. Now, looking at those verses again, let me say a couple of things that I think, or at least one today, and we'll talk more about it at the beginning of next week. The first thing that you ought to think about when you see that is that people may be more interested in the truth than you think. We say, well, they don't want to hear. That's because you keep shouting. That's because we're so insecure. It's because we're so angry. Because we're so mean-spirited, we know they're going to get it when they die, and we're glad. But if you can go to people because you really care, because you're really concerned, without being defensive about it, you would be surprised at how people would be open to it. I remember the first time I ever shared my faith in Christ. I did it because a friend of mine, Jake Alina, decided that he was going to show me how to share my faith, and we went down to the beach at Wollaston and knocked on the window of the only car in the middle of the winter sitting on the beach. The guy cracked his window thinking these are a couple of nutcases, and Jay said, we represent a Christian organization. Could we talk to you a minute? And I remember getting in that car and thinking, this is nuts. What am I doing? But he was so open. He wanted to hear. And you know what we found out? He was thinking about suicide. It was the time to speak the truth gently and kindly and with compassion. You know what I found out? I found out that people don't have so much trouble with Jesus. They have a lot of trouble with us. People don't have so much trouble with the gospel. They have the trouble with our political agenda. People don't have so much trouble with God. They know they've got a God-shaped vacuum in their heart. They have trouble with the people who tell them so in such an angry way. And so speak your truth and speak it kindly. And any thinking person is interested in hearing what you have to say. One thing I've noticed about unbelievers is that they're guilty, and generally they know it. One of the things that I found out about people who don't know Christ is that they know something's missing, and it keeps them awake at night. One of the things that I've noticed about people who don't believe is they know that something's broken. They just don't know how to fix it. If you had a cure for cancer, would you have to shout it at the people that have it? Of course not. You just tell them, I can fix this. You speak your truth. People are more willing to hear than you might think. I teach a course at the seminary called Communicating to Postmoderns, and most of us are against most of what is happening in our culture. But I'll tell you something, I've never in my life seen people more open to our story than in our time. You can go down to any place where people gather and just be real and vulnerable and normal and not super spiritual and don't carry a big black Bible and tell them that Jesus loves them. You'd be surprised. People want to hear more than we think they do. You think about that. I'm in. Well, we generally, at the end of the Wednesday broadcast, answer some questions, and I'm going to do that today. My pastor, Pete Allinson, is going to be in on Friday, and we'll do some more detail on these questions. But we take Wednesday's broadcast at the end because we get thousands of questions. A couple of things to remind you about. Key Life is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. In Canada, we're now a member of CCCC. That's the Canadian Council of Christian Churches. And that means that we are faithful with the finances of Key Life. Just thought you ought to know. We have a website. You ought to check it out. www.keylife.org. You can hear today's broadcast and the previous 30 and a lot of neat stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. And oh yes, if you're a pastor, don't forget our Pooped Pastors Conference. I'm already getting letters critical of the name of that. I want you to know we're just trying to say pastors are tired. This is a hard time to be a pastor. And so we're going to provide a safe place of teaching and learning and growing. We're not going to teach you how to change the world. We're going to teach you how to look to Jesus and rest and laugh a little bit. We're going to teach you how to be faithful without becoming a Buddhist. We're going to teach you about God's grace, and we're going to learn it ourselves. Dan Allender is going to be a part of that. Tom Wood. Peculiar people are going to be doing drama. Nashville recording artist Buddy Green is going to be there. We're going to laugh a lot. We're going to have a great time, and it's going to be refreshing for your pastor. It's called the Pooped Pastors Conference. I know you hate it, the name, but if you're a pastor, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's January 23rd through the 25th, and if you'll go on our webpage or give us a call or drop us a note, we'll send you a brochure. By the way, the number here is 1-800-KEY-LIFE, and that's open 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. You can email us at steve@keylife.org. When it concerns questions, don't use the 1-800 number. You can make a contribution. You can get the magazine free, the booklets free, the tapes free, but you have to write your question out. All right, enough. Let's get to some of these questions. This is an email. A friend has just lost a loved one. What can I say or do that would be of help? I don't know if I'd say much. Why don't you make a meal? Say, look, I know you've got so much to do, and this is a really hard time for you. I'm going to fry up some chicken and bring it over with mashed potatoes, and you and your family just do that. Churches have known that for a long time. It's not so much what you say, it's what you do. When you go to the funeral, don't start quoting Scripture. They already know the Scripture. Just hug them. And don't start saying, you know, it's going to be okay. God's going to be glorified in it. Somebody died. Somebody that somebody loved died. And yeah, there is life after death. Yes, there's heaven. If they're believers, they're home. But this is a sad time. Don't take the sting out of death yourself. The sting of death is sin, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. And that's true, and we have these promises, and we don't grieve the way the world grieves, but we do grieve. It's a sad time when you lose somebody. I've lost a lot of people that I love. And I don't want somebody telling me about the promises. I know them. I don't want somebody to tell me I shouldn't be sad, because I am sad. I lost somebody I loved, at least for a long time. And so if you got a friend who lost a loved one, hug them. Tell them you're so very sorry. And then just say, is there anything I can do to help you? Because you've probably got a bunch of stuff you've got to do. I'll be your gopher, or I'll fix a meal for you, or I'll watch your kids, or I'll mow your lawn, or I'll help. I, think that's more important. And then later on, maybe you can say something in terms of what the Bible says about eternal life. How are we as Christians to live in a world where lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, compromise, and selfishness have actually become not only the norm, but seemingly acceptable? Well, we've got to let people know that it's not acceptable to us, even when we've done some of those things. The difference between an antinomian and a pagan is somebody who says, I'm sinking deep in sin, and isn't it great? And the Christian says, I'm sinking deep in sin, and I hate it, and I'm ashamed, and I'm bringing shame on the name of Christ, and I want to change, and he's still fond of me, and he sent his son to die on a cross. Let me tell you something. I'm not so sure. People say they are saying it's acceptable. The reason they're saying it's acceptable, you see this in Hollywood a lot, is because they know it isn't. The reason they're saying and are so angry about it, and they shake their fist in the face of anything that speaks about morality and ethics, is because they know that it's not acceptable. And so bring the Savior to those who are open to listen and tell them about the one who forgives. And slowly, sometimes, even changes us to make us better people. I think we must remember always, as we live in a pagan culture, and we do, when we live in a pagan culture, that's the way it's always been. And it's going to be that way until Jesus returns. And in the between times, we as Christians are to bear witness, not to our goodness, but to his. Not to our obedience, but to his obedience. Not to how wonderful we are, but how wonderful he is. And once people come into a relationship with him, they never again say it doesn't make any difference. They understand that it makes a very big difference. And then one other question. This is an email. What does the Bible teach about having a good marriage? Don't leave. I'm going to write a book someday. That's going to be my book on marriage. I have two words. Don't leave. And I'll say more about that next Wednesday. But I'm really out of time. And I really gotta go. Hey, listen, whenever you write or call, Eli, would you give us the call letters of this great station? A lot of wonderful people make this broadcast possible, and we'd like to know who they are. So when you write or call, just jot down or speak quickly the call letters. And oh, yes, Eli is a listener-supported production of Eli's Network.